So my Guruji's name is Raywanand Saraswati, and when I first met him, I sort of fell instantly in love with him. Just very gentle, kind person, very well dressed, always sort of very impeccable in the way he put himself together. He had pretty good English, and we just clicked, I suppose, in a way. I could really see myself in him, and he saw the divinity within me, and so there we go. And part of what he gave me in that relationship was the incredible opportunity to travel to many, 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 many sacred places. In fact, our next stop on the pilgrimage after Haridwar and a little jaunt through Rishikesh, which is sort of like a Westerner's enclave. I'll come back to Rishikesh a little bit later on. One of our big, big pilgrimages will be to an amazing town called Omkareshwar on the banks of the Narada River. Guruji and I went there on this incredible journey, places like Ujjain, and over all the way we ended up going to Kumbh Mela, but we'd been up to Dharamsala and Jwalaji and all of these incredible things. So Guruji and I, every time I went there, we went on another pilgrimage. We went on another time, and look, sometimes it was really hard. We'd travel overnight by bus. He was great at traveling, and he taught me so much about traveling in India and traveling in a way that was not first class or staying in first class places, but just staying in basic accommodation and allowing the journey to be the primary motivation for our spiritual awareness and spiritual practice. So the big journey that we're going to take after we leave Haridwar, we're going to travel overnight by train to a place called Indore. Getting train tickets in India is pretty tricky, actually. I'm trying to go through a broker here, but she has already mentioned that she only really does the train tickets for people who she books other aspects of travel for. So we'll see how it goes. I will try my best to get the tickets we want, and our journey will be certainly shaped by the availability of how and when we travel. My Guruji, Raywanand Saraswati, he entered Maha Samadhi, which is he left this earthly plane, in October 24th, 2016, which is 3 years ago coming up. And what I'm aiming to do or hoping to do on our journey, and this is what you guys are part of a larger mission, is to go to Omkareshwar, where some beautiful Shivalingams, the temple is filled with beautiful Shivalingams, and for us to buy a special Shivalingam for my Guruji's Mahasamadhi place. So I just wanted to read a little bit about the Shivalingam. This is from... who wrote this? This is Diana Eck, who wrote a little bit about the darshan. But a lingam is a image of Shiva, and you always see the lingams in Shiva temples, and they're always worshipped by pouring water and offering it flowers and leaves. Some people have mistaken it to be a phallus of Shiva, but actually the lingam is... it's not the phallic aspect of Shiva, rather it symbolizes his strength and power and might. And the old narratives say that in a particular myth, Shiva rose up like a fiery column of light. And so getting a lingam, this large stone, perfectly oval shaped stone, and taking it to Guruji's ashram in Barsana will be part of our mission, if that is the case. I still have to make a couple more phone calls to some sadhus in India, but because they have limited English and I have limited Hindi, then I might get somebody to work on our behalf. But there's a possibility that we might get a lift part of the journey. If the particular sadhu who has a car is not available, we'll go by train and taxi. But Om Kaeshwar is absolutely beautiful, and we'll go on an amazing pilgrimage walk along the river. So part of what I wanted to just stop and say here is that there are different aspects of yoga. What you guys know me for is Hatha Yoga, which is this physical, dynamic yoga that's meant to aid in well-being. That's one small facet of what yoga is, and I want to extend our yoga far beyond just Hatha Yoga. So another aspect of yoga is called Dhyana Yoga. Dhyan is about knowledge, self-inquiry. And Dhyana Yoga represents or describes the search for real knowledge, for moving beyond just the kind of knowledge that you can look up on Google, and find those inspired wisdoms that come from listening to the words of a teacher, or reading an old text, or to be in the company of sadhus. Dhyana Yoga requires us to be self-reflexive, or reflect on our internal reality, to discuss with others aspects of not only our joys and hopes, but our difficulties, to clarify points of doubt, and to not be afraid to ask questions when the time is right. And gradually this recognition and merging with the truth happens through Dhyana Yoga. So as part of our meditative practice and our ongoing discourse, then we'll be looking at Dhyana Yoga, the knowledge that comes from entering into more meditative styles of yoga, more reflective styles of yoga. Another yoga that we'll be engaging with is Bhakti Yoga. Bhakti Yoga is a big tree with lots of branches. You might sing mantra like Jata Dorai Shiva Jata Dorai Hare Hare Boli Namah Shivai Jata Dorai Shiva Jata Dorai Hare Hare Boli Namah Shivai Namah Shivai Om Namah Shivai Hare Hare Boli Namah Shivai. So that's a type of bhajan, or a type of praise of Shiva. Om Namah Shivai, Om Namah Shivai is a mantra, and it's this idea that through bhakti yoga, through listening to the sounds, divine music, by making praise of the gods or praise of your guru, by explaining the stories and the teachings that come from music and devotion, and honoring the divinity, doing things that are graceful and kind and generous and giving, then we enter, and ecstatic, we enter into bhakti yoga. So bhakti, this idea of devotional and emotional opening of the heart and feeling that joy and that love. So that's another aspect of the yoga that we will do. Haridwar in particular has a lot of mantra, especially in the marketplace. So you'll hear this particular song, which is the Gayatri Mantra. And the Gayatri Mantra is played over and over and over and over and over and over again. The one that's in Haridwar has a particular little jaunty version to it, so I'll sing that, but you'll hear many other versions of it. So jaunty Haridwar version of the Gayatri Mantra goes like this. Om Bhur Bhurva Swaha Tat Savatu Varenyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Diyo Yona Prachodayat Om Bhur Bhurva Swaha Tat Savatu Varenyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Diyo Yona Prachodayat and so on and so forth. You'll hear that over and over and over again, Gayatri Mantra. There are many versions of it, but it basically is an ode to the sun and to the object of illumination that makes our heart and mind, inspired and brilliant with knowledge of the divine. So there are different aspects of yoga. There's another yoga called Karma Yoga. And this is very much what I'll be doing as well. Karma yoga is the path of action, of path of service. So by going to Omkareshwar, buying a Shiva Lingam, carrying this very heavy object all the way back over to Barsana and offering it up to, in this type of ceremony, to my Guruji's Mahasamadhi site, will be an act of karma yoga, of which you are all a part. This is the path of disinterested service, or dispassionate service, where you're not wanting anyone to give you accolades, or you're not wanting anybody to praise you for it. There's actually the benefit comes from selfless work, from being selfless and working in a way that's unattached, to take advantage of that. And it's all about duty and fulfilling your spiritual aspirations by good deeds, by being kind, by being selfless, by being helpful and being useful and being of service. And these types of yoga take this trip way out of the ordinary. This trip, I have purposefully changed the way I do things. I've never made podcasts for people because, in a way, I thought I could unpack all of the knowledge on the journey. But because India is so confrontational, so different, so stimulating, so terrifying, so challenging in so many ways, I thought I would take this opportunity to bring a little bit of knowledge, a little bit of devotion, a little bit of the idea of selfless service, because in a way this is my selfless service to you. I am giving you this knowledge. You're not paying for it. I don't want anything back from it. All I want you to do is to continue to listen and continue to learn. So this is a type of karma yoga where I will help you to realize a much deeper aspect of knowledge through the podcast medium. Many times, as I say, I've taken people to India, and in another podcast, I do want you to listen to this podcast, the following podcast or the one after, about some of the challenges that I've had when I've taken people. So this time I wanted to do it differently. I didn't want to baby you anymore, baby the people who come into. In our Western world, we have so many freedoms. I can dress the way I want to dress. I'll go do what I want to do. I'll eat what I want to eat. If I want to eat meat, I'll eat meat. If I want to drink alcohol, I'll eat drink alcohol. If I want to, drink 2 bottles a night, I'll drink it. But in Haridwar, in these sacred places, it's very different. It's pure vegetarian. There is no meat. Thank goodness, I say in brackets. There is no alcohol. So if you're coming straight from your homes and you've just eaten your last hamburger, had a meat dish on the airplane and drank a whole bunch of alcohol and got pretty pissed, then you're going to crash and burn in India. Because to clear your gut out of meat takes weeks, maybe even months. So I would hearken each of you to try to get up to speed, and if you're not already vegetarian, then to abstain from eating meat for at least 2 weeks before you leave. The reason why is not just dietary, it's about pollution. I personally believe, having been vegetarian for over 15 years, maybe longer, maybe 20 years now, who knows, that you become far more spiritually sensitive. You become less filled with dead animal energy when you don't eat meat. And the same with alcohol. If you are deadening yourself with alcohol, then India is going to be a tough, brutal wake-up call, like the worst hangover you ever had, because it will be in your face and in your case. I will try to give you tools. Hopefully we will be able to, for people who want to, be able to source a little bit of good quality ganja when we're there and smoke it with the sadhus, for people who are into that kind of stuff. And if you're not, then there's quite a big possibility that you'll be around sadhus who are smoking ganja, because it's part of the Shiva culture. Shiva's a big worshipper of God flower, so they call it God flower, the flower of the gods. So yeah, it's going to be a big difference. The other thing too, I would hearken you, if you don't sleep very well, to bring things like an eye mask and earplugs. Sometimes at nighttime there are barking dogs, or you hear noise early in the morning. Sometimes 4 a.m. there are bells ringing. You know, there's sometimes, and this is quite likely, there are all-night weddings with the music so loud. These incredible sounds of India don't stop when the last shop closes like they do here. It can be a very, very noisy place. So make sure that you're prepared for that. I'm just going to stop this podcast here. And when I come back, I want to talk a little bit more about Rishikesh. And maybe we'll rip the Band-Aid off now and get down to the nitty-gritty of some of the things that people have some of the issues that have come up when I've taken people to India. I think it's a good time to address that now. But anyway, so we've been looking today at the types of yoga that we will be doing on the trip, and it won't just be about physical. It'll be metaphysical, emotional, spiritual, knowledge-based, devotional, all of these different aspects of yoga. Om Namo Narayan. May your onward journey be filled with blessings and love and opportunity. Bye bye.